This is Rain Hamcast number 58, posted January 8th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Holding a technician class license can be a frustrating experience trying to locate accurate resources for learning what you can and cannot do. Anthony Luskrey, K8ZT, is one Midwestern ham who has endeavored to provide instructional materials targeting the new and hungry ham on one website called ZT Learn. Now retired from a career in providing computer instruction for teachers and students, Anthony hosts his ZT Learn website, tiny.cc/FDSD, Field Day Social Distancing. For the next two Rain Hamcasts, we will bring you excerpts from a virtual forum presentation Anthony produced and delivered during the QSO Today August 2021 Virtual Ham Expo. It is called Technicians, Life After Local Repeaters and Activities Not Just for Technicians. Here is our first excerpt from that presentation.
The purpose of this presentation is to help you maximize your on-air experience. Maximize the use of your current privileges by going beyond the local repeaters. Explore new modes. Explore new bands. Explore new activities. And most of all, have more fun. Some common myths about the technician license. VHF and UHF repeaters are the only activity. Definitely not the case, and we'll explore options. There are no HF privileges. Well, there certainly are, and we'll talk about those also. Only code experts can make CW contacts. You can get started before you're an expert and definitely make contacts. There is no way to work DX. That's definitely not the case, and we'll give you plenty of examples. 6 meters and 10 meters are always dead. Sometimes they're dead, but not always, and we're actually moving into a sunspot maximum where there'll be great bands to work lots of DX. You can't work FT8 and FT4. Yes, you can, and we'll talk about the bands on which you can do that. And microwave bands are useless, only if you don't know what you can use them for, and we'll talk about some possible uses and ways to enjoy those with your license. Current situation, it's just some informal observations. Most techs limit their operations to VHF and UHF repeaters, and occasionally simplex FM. Many get their license but fail to get on the air, or get on the air and burn out quickly. Some upgrade their licenses, but many do not. Sadly, some drop out of amateur radio completely. Hopefully, we can get past some of those problems today. The current situation involves a changing situation on VHF and UHF repeaters over the last 15 years. There's greatly decreased activity. Cell phones, texting, email, etc. have replaced the connectivity provided by repeaters and auto patch. My wife and I spent many years with our main way of communicating with each other via the local repeater. We now have the ability to do that same type of connectivity through our cell phones. Digital repeaters, DMR and D-Star, and C4 FM are taking the place of many common analog repeaters. What about HF? Well, earlier, novice and technician licensees on-air activity typically included HF contacts in the CW subbands. Tech enhancement in the 1980s added 10-meter phone and data privileges. But the 10-meter band is highly dependent on sunspot activity levels and often limited to local contacts only. It seems that some of the excitement of getting that first license may have faded along with the FCC's mailing of paper licenses. To keep the excitement, it is important that techs and other licensees in a rut get involved in a variety of amateur radio activities. Mentoring, not just licensing new hams, should be an essential part of all radio clubs. The current tech license privileges include HF, VHF, and UHF. HF on the 80-meter, 40-meter, 15-meter, and 10-meter bands, with 80, 40, and 15 only having CW privileges, and 10-meter being limited to just portions of the band. On VHF and UHF, technicians have full privileges, 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, 70 centimeters, and up. Unfortunately, they don't realize that there's a lot more to these bands than just local VHF-UHF repeater activity. These bands can be great for long-distance communication, single sideband, contesting, even contacts with space via satellites. We'll explore new modes, single sideband on 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters and up, CW on the 80, 40, 15, and 10-meter bands, Digital modes, FT8, RTTY, PSK on 10 meters and 6 meters. Fast scan TV is available on UHF and microwaves. We won't talk much about it today because it's a specialized topic. And another specialized topic, Wi-Fi, also known as the Arden net, using UHF and microwaves. But there's also new bands to explore that you may not have explored yet. HF on single sideband on 10 meters. HFCW on 80, 40, and 15. VHF, you may not have tried 6 meters out. 6 meters has a wide variety of activities you can try. 220 and microwaves. Some new activities. Even if you're using the local repeaters for 2-meter or UHF activity, try out simplex. See how far your radio can reach without using a repeater. Try out satellite operation on the VHF-UHF bands. Contesting is available on these bands, and many new technicians don't realize that. You can even do summits on the air and parks on the air activity with these bands. DMR is another type of repeater operation, but it greatly increases your distance capability through linked repeaters. Echolink, APRS, and fox hunting are other great activities, and fox hunting is available to anyone. Even unlicensed hams can go out and hunt. So what can technicians do? Well, you have two choices, and they're not either or. You can do both of them if you'd like. First, you can upgrade to general class and higher and get more privileges. But while you're waiting for that, think about maximizing your use of the current privileges by going beyond the look repeaters. So let's start with 6 meters, also known as the magic band. Unlike 10 meters, techs have full privileges, all modes and all frequencies on all of 6 meters. 6 meters can provide regional and even DX when conditions are favorable. Sunspot activity ionizes the F layer and can very long distance contacts. When sunspot activity is low, there's still a sporadic E layer activity known as sporadic E skip. And that can happen anytime, although it's more common during the summertime. But it isn't dependent on the current sunspot activity. Most newer HF radios also include 6 meters. And for more information on HF radios in general, I put together another slideshow. It's at tiny.cc/byAR. And it has lots of information on different radios that are available for both HF, VHF, and UHF. tiny.cc/byAR. Gain antennas are easily manageable in size on 6 meters, but even a dipole or a J-pole will work plenty of stations on 6 meters. Single sideband and digital modes, including FT8 and FT4, two of the hottest modes out there, are the most popular, but there's also CW and FM, both simplex and repeater activity on 6 meters. I put together a number of 6-meter resources to get you started. First of all is a great free ebook available from K5ND called Capture the Magic of 6 Meters. There's also K5ND's excellent website. Some links on 6-meter antennas, including a 6-meter coaxial dipole antenna, aka a flower pot antenna, and also information on building a simple 6-meter Moxon antenna, which has gain and is very easy to carry portable. 10 meters is the only HF band that has phone privileges for technicians. It is limited both in frequency and mode activity. Phone activity is only on single sideband. It's only 28.3 to 28.5 megahertz. Digital activity, FT8, FT4, PSK, RTTY, and CW are all available from 28.0 to 28.3 in the appropriate portions of the subband. 10 meters can provide regional and even worldwide DX conditions when conditions are favorable with high sunspot activity. But again, sporadic E layer activity can bring in surprise 10-meter long-distance contacts at any time. Worldwide DXing during good times with high sunspot cycles is very easy, and you'll be shocked at how well it would work. But during sunspot lows, there's limited activity, distance, and less chance for voice contacts. The good news is, actually the great news, is that with increasing solar activity, 10-meter propagation is looking up. We're at the bottom, so everything over the next 5 to 7 years should be upward bound.
You're listening to our first of two excerpts from Anthony Luscree, KHZT's virtual forum presentation, giving during the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. We'll continue Anthony's talk after station identification. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Hamcast number 58, posted January 8, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
This is the RAIN Hamcast, available both on therainreport.com and now on YouTube.
6 meters and 10 meters when the sunspot cycle is low can be sometimes called dead bands. But again, there's quite often e-skip activity. And with FT8 and FT4, you can get great contacts even during low sunspot days. And I put together an article you can read on that. If you're thinking about getting involved in voice on 10 meters, remember it's only single sideband. So 10 meter FM or AM only radios available from what I'll refer to as CB vendors are often of no use. They'll talk about the great things about them, but they're basically just glorified CBs. And because they don't cover single sideband, they're not very helpful. Even if they do cover single sideband, they have more CB features than amateur radio type features. They're channelized, they have Roger beeps, squelch, no antenna tuner, no ability to do computer interfacing, and they don't provide 6 meters or other bands for when you upgrade to a general. So even though they may seem tempting, you might want to bypass all the CB type 10 meter only radios. Because almost all real ham transceivers include single sideband 10 meters, you can often buy cheaper, used, or older equipment which have not only 10 meters but many bands on them that you'll be able to take advantage of when you upgrade. Many of the ham multiband HF transceivers also have 6 meters, which technicians can use. So you can get on 10 and 6 immediately when you pick up a radio like this. Newer model radios make it easier the use of FT8 and FT4, but it's very easy to do it by adding a simple interface, and I have a whole presentation on FT8 and FT4 if that's what you're interested in. 220 megahertz UHF and microwave bands. There's lots of open space with very little activity in many areas, but it's great for experimentation. All you need is at least one other operator to make QSOs. The best time to find activity on these bands is during the contest periods. ARRL runs three VHU UHF contests during the year, plus there's activity days for microwave bands, 220 and other bands. Special modes such as Wi-Fi are a great way to utilize the microwave bands. And I have a whole presentation here on getting started in amateur microwave radio for you to read. VHF, UHF, single sideband activity. In addition to 10 meters and 6 meter single sideband, on VHF and UHF, single sideband is also used for weak signal work, contesting, satellites, and summits on the air using VHF. Single sideband activity usually uses horizontally polarized antennas versus the vertically used antennas on FM, so you might consider that when you're thinking about getting on these bands. Sampling the HF single sideband activity. Anyone without an HF receiver or an antenna capable of HF reception can use the free online tunable SDR software-defined receivers to listen to ham, single sideband, and CW QSOs worldwide. And I have a whole presentation at tiny.cc/OSDR and a quick start guide at FreeRX. Both of those will help you get an idea of what's on the HF bands without having to buy a radio or even put up an antenna. tiny.cc/OSDR and a free RX. Let's talk about CW, or having fun with HF using Morse code. Originally, the novice CW allocations on 80, 40, and 15 were available to techs, and they still are. Most techs are not trained in using CW. Many of them don't even know these privileges are available to them. Unfortunately, there's not much activity on these portions of the band. There's greater activity on the lower portions of the CW segments, but during field day and other contest weekends, even the higher ends fill up. So if you can get on in these segments during those times, you can make easy contacts with very little CW experience. I put together a whole slideshow called Fun with Morse, and you can go to that at tiny.cc/FWM and learn all about different options you have as a technician using Morse code. If you are interested in learning a code, one of the best ways is to have a buddy help you learn. If you get a friend to learn with in a class or in person or even on the air, it's much easier. Now, fortunately, there's two very active online learning centers for CW. The CW Academies run something called CW Ops, and they run classes 3 times a year. The Long Island CW online classes require you to join their club, but they have classes almost every day during the week that you could just jump into through their schedule. So consider CW Ops or Long Island CW online classes if you're thinking about getting your license. By the way, the Long Island CW classes have special classes for youth only, and those are completely free. So if you're a younger person and thinking about CW, Long Island CW is a great way to get started. The digital modes are probably the fastest growing amateur radio mode, FT8, FT4. They're good with weak signals, poorer antennas, and poorer propagation conditions. So they're a good candidate to try out on 10 meters, 6 meters, and 2 meters. You won't find a lot of activity on 2 meters except during the VHF contest, but you can find some activity. Only a few years old, it's highly likely that many similar digital modes will be continued to be developed. Other digital modes that are available are PSK31 and RIDI. These you'll mainly find on 10 meters when you're talking about technician availability. Simplex FM is a little bit different than repeater operation, and it's great practice for emergency communication. Often it doesn't require a new radio. If you're already using a radio on the local repeater, you can use it for simplex. You can experiment with different antennas and amplifiers to increase your signal capability. Because you're not working through a repeater, sometimes it's very important to get a much better signal on there to make contacts. Many local clubs and organizations hold 2-meter FM simplex contests or activity days on a regular basis, and you can monitor the simplex frequency to start out. 146.520 is the nationwide simplex 2-meter frequency. I have some videos on that available on simplex operation, and I have a little bit of a guide on using simplex. The simplex frequencies on 2 meters vary by different states. So take a look at the color-coded chart and then find your section, whether it's 15 kilohertz spacing or 20 kilohertz spacing. But both have common frequencies. So if you stick to the green frequencies or the red frequencies, those will be available in all the different states. Satellites in space. With rare exceptions, a few older HF satellites, all satellite privileges are available to technicians on 2 meters, 440 and above. The main satellite types are low Earth orbit FM-based satellites, low Earth orbit linear transponders with single sideband and CW, higher orbit linear transponder satellites, geosynchronous orbit satellites, which unfortunately there's none available from North America, and also occasionally the space station does contacts, and they also have a digipeater that you can work through, and sometimes they have other specialty modes. So don't rule that out. These are all available for technicians to operate. I would suggest starting out with the low Earth orbit FM satellites. They're a great starting point. They're easier to use. You can often use your existing dual band HT to operate these by adding a small gain antenna. Compact and expensive gain antennas can either be built or purchased. It's a great area to explore with youth operators. Sean KX9X has put together a series of blog posts that are great on getting started with satellites. He also has corresponding YouTube videos to go along with those. So if you follow his practical information, you can get on the air in no time with a satellite operation. The components that you need are a dual band 2-meter 440 FM HT mobile radio or other radio. The ASU 991 FT8 18, ICOM 705 are all great radios, and there's more available. You also need a commercial or DIY satellite antenna. The aero antenna is very popular, but the $4 ham radio satellite antenna has a link here for building it, and it will work just fine. There's even a site with links to modify it to improve it even better. So there's a variety of cheap, inexpensive antennas you can build yourself to get on satellites with your HTs, no additional cost.
This has been the first of two excerpts from Technicians, Life After Local Repeaters and Activities Not Just for Technicians, a virtual address given by Anthony Luskry, K8ZT, during the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. We'll bring you our second excerpt from this presentation in Rain Hamcast number 59, scheduled for posting January 22, 2022. The Rain Hamcast is copyright 1985-2022 Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights are reserved. All are welcome to transmit this hamcast over amateur radio. Thanks for YouTube technical assistance from Tom Shimizu, N9JDI. Oh, before we go, just an attaboy to Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, for finally getting podcast recognition and distribution for the Rain Hamcast. Hap had help from Joe Cass, W0CAS, and Mark Davis. That's all for this time. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.